We are in week three of our series called Healthy Church. And I appreciate Jeff last week bringing the heat, man. Jeff brought the heat, came off the top rope, and clotheslined a couple of us, which was good. I needed it. So did you. If you weren't here last week, Jeff clotheslined you and you were not here. So you need to go back and watch the message or listen to it, because really appreciate it. We spoke about just the importance of the local church. And so God has called me uniquely to lead a church. And man, that is an interesting calling for sure. It's not a calling that is placed on everyone, and I know why. It's not a calling that should be taken lightly, and I know why. It is my job to, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, to stay healthy myself, for our church leaders to stay healthy ourselves, so that we can lead a healthy church. Healthy people lead healthy organizations. And so this week I want to take a little bit of a deeper approach, or a different take and look at something in Scripture that I believe is important for us. You see, there is no better example of anything in the Christian life than when we can look to Jesus as our example. No greater example. And sometimes it's a little bit easier to do than others, right? If I say, I want you to serve others, we could say, okay, awesome. Let's look to Jesus and see how Jesus served others. But what if I said, you need to be a good parent? Sometimes it's a little bit different and difficult to maybe see, how can I look at the life of Jesus and find that out, right? It becomes a little bit difficult, and that's okay. Jesus is throughout all of Scripture, and His imprint is everywhere, but sometimes it's easier to see that imprint than others. But as Jesus came and he, for 3.5 years, Scripture says, he had a public ministry. From the time he was 30 years old to the time he was roughly 33 and some change, he had a public ministry. In Jesus' public ministry, as you know, he would go to different cities, as we studied in the book of Mark. Ironically, I was with some pastors this week. The guy said, hey, we were talking about different books of the Bible we had preached through. He said, yeah, I preached through Mark. And I was like, oh, so did I. I'm like, how many sermons did you preach in the book of Mark? He said, 46. I said, hold on. So I have my notes. I can access all of my sermon notes on my phone. So I went and pulled it up. And guess what, Jeff? 46. That's how many sermons. Now, it was more weeks than that because we had stuff in between. 46 sermons. We did the exact amount in the book of Mark. So if you thought we were overboard, it's kind of par for the course. It's like about what it takes to get through the book. But we did that. You remember in the book of Mark, Jesus would travel around. He went to his home country, to his home city, was rejected there. He would go into other cities and have major like parties. People were all over him, asking him to do things for them and heal them and to cast out demons here and to do all these different things. And you know, Jesus was widely rejected but widely receptive, depending on where he was. And as you know, there were many times when Scripture would use the word multitude of people that would follow Jesus. A multitude of people. I want to use the illustration this morning of that multitude of people. And then I want to go down to a next level of people that Jesus dealt with. And then I want to go down to the next level of people Jesus dealt with. And then there's a final level that I want to hit. So the title of today's message is simply this: Level Down. We're talking about the church. We're talking about healthy church. I want to encourage us today, and you'll understand the title as we move through the sermon, to level down. You see, the first level is this broad level that I don't even have as one of my points. It's the multitude level. And today I would say that level is those that have given their life to Christ, would claim to be a follower of Jesus, that would be a part of the body of Christ, as we call it, the capital C church, his bride, all across this world. Anybody and everyone that would say, I believe in Jesus. And by the way, I'm going to end with this today. If you are not in the multitude of people that believe in Jesus, don't let another day pass in your life that you don't become a part of that number, whatever that number may be. If you are here today and you have never acknowledged your condition as a sinner, you've never acknowledged his position as your Savior, would you today repent of your sin? Would you today turn to Jesus? And would you put your faith and trust in him and only him, so that just like those multitudes in Scripture that we read about, you would be named in that number? And may I say this morning, I'm not here to bring you bad news, but I am here to tell you the reality is that those that are not named in that multitude will not only spend this life separated from God and separated from his Spirit, but we will spend the life to come separated from God. And the Bible says in a place that burns, a place that is fiery and torment, a place called hell. And this morning, I don't want anybody under the sound of my voice or anybody in my circle of influence to spend eternity separated from God. And so I encourage you today, if you're not a part of the multitude that have made that choice to follow Jesus, that have repented of their sin and given their life to Jesus and called upon his name for eternal salvation, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. None of us in this room are promised tomorrow. None of us. In fact, there are two different families, if they don't mind me mentioning, there's two different families that have family members in our church right now that are getting to that area. Greg's aunt is nearing home. Many of you may not even know this. Justin Sykes is not here today. Justin's dad is nearing home. And that's two people in our church with family. And you know, we have no idea when it's going to be our time. And so as we live in light of eternity, I want to urge you today at the beginning of my sermon, and it's coming again at the end. If you don't know Jesus, make today be the day that you know him, that you believe on him, that you begin a personal, real relationship with him. But there are three other levels where I want to go today. Thank you, Jeff. Y'all know when my cough comes on, there is no predicting it and no idea when it's going to come. So anyway, I got to make my dad joke. My dad says, man, it's so good. Don't you guys wish you had some of this? It's ice cold. No, I'm good. I'm not going to rub it in your face. There are three levels from the greater capital C Bride of Christ Church. There are three levels of connectivity that I believe every believer that names the name of Jesus needs. Remember, the backdrop is this is a healthy church series. Number one, the first level that we need to level down to, if you are a believer in Jesus, you name the name of Christ, the first level is the 70 level. The 70 level. In your Bibles, Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10. If you do not have your Bible today, that's completely fine. We got the scripture right on the screen for you. Or you can look on the app or whatever. I trust that you're, you know, on your Bible app. Sure you are. Luke chapter 10. After Jesus has a busy season of ministry in the previous chapter, he comes to chapter 10 after these things. The Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You see, out of the multitude, out of the thousands, Jesus called 70 to a more localized gathering. He brought them to himself. Now, it doesn't go into this here, but he evidently spent at least a little bit of time of mentoring and training and teaching them what he wanted them to do, because he sends them out before him to pave the way for Jesus to come through a city. And so I equate this 70 level of I'm a believer in the multitude and the thousands, but God has called me into this 70 level. I call this the church attendee level or the church member level. He's called us. Now, this is a little bit of a larger level. This is 70 people in this instance that Jesus appointed. And honestly, in this room, there's approximately 70 people probably in this room right now. And so if you think about this room of people, this is what Jesus called. This is who he called and how he called them. And he said, I want you to be a part of what I am doing. And may I say this morning, when you ground yourself in a local church, you are a part of what God is doing. There was one major way that God wanted the gospel of Jesus Christ to go across this earth, and it was through the ministry of the local church. And so it is important this morning that those that are in the multitude, and you say, Josh, we're all sitting in church this morning. I understand I'm preaching to the choir, but I want to highlight the importance this morning of the Sunday church gathering. When we attend church together, honestly, when we attend church together, you may not know everyone's name. There's more of a broad, maybe if we want to look at it this way, more of a surface level ministry that you're able to have. If you only come on a Sunday, you will receive encouragement from other people. You will receive hopefully a handshake and maybe if you're comfortable, a hug around your neck. You know, you may get a what are those, bring it in, hugs from me. I'm not sure, you might get a fist bump. I'm not sure what you're going to get from me. It depends on the kind of vibe I'm feeling. You're going to get something. And by the way, sometimes that's exactly what you need. Sometimes in the week that you've had, your work, your job has been terrible. Everything about your life has been struggling. You know what you need is you need to get your butt to church on Sunday morning, because somebody's going to be there who's going to shake your hand and smile and welcome you, and you need that encouragement. But may I say this, I don't believe this was not Jesus calling 70 to be fed or to be served. This was Jesus calling the 70 to serve. And may I say this, while some of you need to come to church and feel that warmth and feel that love and be served, the only way you're truly going to appreciate it is if you begin coming to church to serve, to encourage, and to love. Listen, that's the way you will get the most out of being a attender and an attendee of Keystone Church. Is if you don't walk up this sidewalk right here and come into the door saying, I wonder who's going to talk to me. I wonder if he's going to walk right past me again. Listen, if you come in with that spirit and attitude, guess what? He's probably going to walk right past you again. She's probably not going to speak to you. But if you come on mission like the 70 were and you say, I'm going to walk into these doors and the first person I see, I'm going to smile at them. I'm going to shake their hand. I'm going to tell them that it's great to see them, even if I don't believe it. And then I'm going to put a smile on my face. And then when I walk into the auditorium, if I see someone sitting by themselves, I'm going to walk over, I'm going to speak to them, I'm going to introduce myself, I'm going to shake their hand. I'm going to serve. How many of you that ever served like that in your life, you know this, you get more fulfillment out of being proactive and shaking people's hands and speaking to them and taking the initiative. You get so much more out of that than you would standing over in the corner waiting for somebody to come over and notice you. You see, Jesus didn't call these 70 to just be fed by him. He called the 70 to go out before him, in, among the people, to prepare the way. And may I say this? This is important. I don't get to do this often, so y'all bear with me. It's important. Listen, from 9:40 to 10 o'clock, we get done with our huddle. By the way, anyone is welcome to come at 9:30 and be a part of our huddles on Sunday. I think they're very encouraging. They last 10 minutes or less, but from 9:40 to 10 o'clock, listen, that's an opportunity for you to prepare the way. For you to prepare the way for people. People are going to encounter through our time of worship and our time of prayer and our time of preaching, they're going to encounter God. They're going to encounter the Holy Spirit speaking to their hearts. And listen, we have an opportunity in those 20 minutes to prepare the way. You have another opportunity today at about 11:15. We're going to say you are dismissed Evan's going to hit the music, and then what? You have another opportunity to prepare the heart, prepare the way, to serve other people. And I want to encourage you today, if you're that person, you say, Josh, I cannot get here early. I am not wired that way. It's not going to work. Can I encourage you to stay late? You know what I call it? I just call it just doing the best with how God made you. If you're like, listen, I could get up early, I can be there early, but man, when they say amen, man, the Mexican restaurant is calling. I'm headed there. Awesome. Then get here early. But I want to encourage us, if we're going to be a part of the 70, then let's take ownership of this. Let's not realize that Jesus did not call these 70 to just exist and sit in a pew and not do anything. No, he appointed these to send them two by two out and speaking to people and talking to people. And so I want to encourage us on that. If I can this morning give you this illustration. I believe church and coming to a local gathering of the church is very important. You say, Josh, of course you do. You're the lead pastor of the church. You're right. Josh, of course you do. You grew up in a pastor's home. You're right again. I don't remember life without the local church. And this morning, if I may, in my personal life, as church was an obvious priority for me and my parents, to the extent that my parents didn't vacation well, still angry about that. Just kidding, I'm not. But as I was raised, as I grew up, church was a priority. We were one of those families that, I mean, and even if we were on vacation, we were going to figure it out. And boy, I've got some stories of churches we would wind up in on some random Sunday night or Wednesday night. Boy, let me tell you something. I'm not sure if the Lord was working there or not, but I got some great stories. But I remember as a teenager playing the fake Christian game, being a pastor's son at a church, a large church with a large youth group, playing the game, not really caring about God, knowing that I really didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I remember playing that game, but there was one consistency. We were going to church. We were going. And I can be a jerk about it. I can like it or lump it, but we were going. And I remember as a teenager, there'd be Sundays where I'm like, man, I do not want to be here. And I meant it. But I remember then my young adult life, going through a phase of my young adult life where I was away from the Lord and knowing I was called to serve him, but running in the opposite direction. Think of Jonah. And knowing that I was living my life for me and for what I wanted, but there was one consistency. The local church every Sunday. I won't share with you some Sundays that I showed up at church on Sunday morning what I had done on Saturday night. But there was one consistency. And it's that my butt was in church on Sunday morning. You say, do we make too big of a deal of it? If I may say this morning, I do not believe I would be standing before you this morning without my mom and my dad's commitment to the local church. No way. And so if you're a parent here this morning, may I say that the habits that you form as a family, they will matter. They will matter. Your children will know what you prioritize. It will matter. And may I encourage you this morning as a parent that you prioritize the gathering of the local body, the 70. As your kids get older, may I encourage your kids to not just exist, but to serve. This is Stacy Benyu's last Sunday with us before heading off to college. You know what I appreciate about Stacy? Got to get everyone to see her. You know what I appreciate about Stacy? Even as a student, she didn't just sit, she served. You've been serving Keystone Kids for 5 years since you were going into ninth grade, eighth grade. She's headed off to college. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. As you raise your kids in church and under the guise of the local church, they get involved in the local church. Cameron Cole said this in an article he wrote for the Gospel Coalition website. He's a family pastor down in Alabama. He said, "The intentional effort we make to attend corporate worship each week reinforces for our kids the patterns of intentionality and endurance necessary for fulfilling a fruitful Christian life." Sorry, necessary for a fulfilling and fruitful Christian life. The intentional effort we make to attend corporate worship each week reinforces for our kids the patterns of intentionality and endurance that is necessary for a fulfilling and a fruitful Christian life. We want a fulfilling and fruitful Christian life for our kids, then we will make an effort to attend corporate worship on a weekly basis. Michael Foster said it this way: "Nothing grows a Christian like a serious commitment to a single church week in and week out for years and years and years. Not conferences, not social media, not even personal devotions. The local church is where mature Christians are slowly forged in the fires of mundane faithfulness." That's not anything against conferences, anything against your favorite social media pastor, and definitely nothing against your personal devotion. But there is something about the mundane faithfulness of your local church. And may I say this? I'll be the first to admit, there are seasons or weeks where it is mundane. It is. You say, "You're the pastor." Listen, as your pastor, may I say this? There are some Sundays I don't want to see y'all. Can I just be real? There are some Sundays I don't want to see you. You know what I want to do? I want to stay in my bed. I want to order DoorDash. I want to wait for the football game to start. Anybody been there before? I know y'all have, because y'all can do it and get away with it. I can't. But you know what? Sometimes it's that mundane faithfulness. You know what I found? Those Sundays where I have to walk in here, and usually Lynn's the first one here when he's on worship team. You know what I have to do when I'm walking in? Sometimes I have to say, "Okay, flip that switch, man. Flip that switch." And you know what? You know what I find? God sends somebody in my path that day who encourages me in a unique way. And I leave that day as rejuvenated as I've ever been. You know why? Because mundane faithfulness over time is effective in the local church. I'm not going to try to push today to get through everything. In fact, next Sunday, our Connect group leaders are going to help me with my sermon next Sunday. And we're going to be doing a little bit of Q&A and talk about this next level that goes down from 70. So I'm not going to try to push today. I want to give us some practical benefits and blessings from the 70 level. Okay, there is blessing in the gathering of the church. There's blessing. The first blessing that came to mind for me is a local body of people to worship Jesus with. Listen, I hope that you have times throughout the week where you worship Jesus by opening up His Word and by diving into what God has for you. I hope there are times throughout the week where you take time and you pray and you have communication with the God of the universe who loves you and who gave you a spirit. I hope there are times throughout the week where you turn on a podcast and you listen to preaching on a podcast, or maybe you watch something on social media of a preacher and a podcast. I hope you do that. I hope there are times where you turn on music during the week and you worship in private on your own. I was just having a conversation with one of our members this past week about the different types of music that speaks to their personal soul. And we ought to have those times. And I'll be honest with you, that music doesn't have to be the exact thing that we play up here. We're not trying to conform you to everything we do. But we ought to have times of private devotion and private worship. But may I say this? There's just something about a group of people that have spent time privately worshiping Monday through Saturday, coming together and worshiping together on Sunday. I can promise you this, it sounds better than when I'm worshiping by myself. I can promise you that. I promise you that the melody that Jesus hears from my lips Monday through Saturday pale to what we heard this morning. But it's not just music. It's serving together. It's living our lives together. It's coming together under the word. It's worshiping together. That is a benefit and a blessing of the body of Christ. You say, can you be a believer and not be a part of a local church? You absolutely can be a believer and not be a part of a local church. And you will be about as effective as a car that never goes to the gas station. You're about 300 miles to empty at your fullest. And then you're empty. And sure, you are still a car. No one's going to ever stop take that away from you. But you're ineffective. You're not as effective as you could be. Oh, maybe you could maybe, as a car broke down on the side of the road, you could maybe keep some people out of the rain. But you're not going to take anybody anywhere. You keep people out of the snow or the heat. You can still be effective in a certain way, but you're not going to be thriving. You're not going to be used to your maximum potential. The local church provides that as we worship together. Another blessing of the level of the local church is this, and I mean this. This may come across a little bit odd, but the feeling of being loosely connected to a greater team, a bigger team. Just loosely connected to a team. How many of you in here are UNC fans? Raise your hand. All right. Bow your head and close your eyes. I'm just kidding. Those of you that are Tar Heel fans in here this morning, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you in your speech about the team, basketball season starting up, I don't know if you guys knew you also have a football team, but basketball season starting up. Sorry. How many of you have ever caught yourself or made the statement like, hey, we play Wake Forest this week? Man, we won. Man, your lazy tail didn't win nothing, man. Like, you sat there in your house and were like, go Tar, whatever you guys say. Tar! There you go. All right, so whatever you say. Man, you ain't done nothing. What are you talking about? We. Right? But you know what you are? You're loosely connected. You ever been somewhere like out of state? Like, we go to Disney as a family. And I love it when I see somebody with a Duke shirt on, a Duke hat on. I'm like, go Duke. And they're like, yeah, go Duke. Like, there's just something about that, right? We're loosely on a team. And by the way, when you're on a church, you're on a team. And I do love this. This Tuesday, Debbie and I and Steve and maybe a couple of other people are going to go serve Club Boulevard. Not everybody in this room is going to go serve lunch at Club Boulevard because you can't. But guess what? We are. We get to serve Club Boulevard. And Chris talks to our missions partners on a consistent basis. And while every one of you may not be able to do the collective we are. And so that's a benefit of the local church. Now, it doesn't take away the personal responsibility, but there is that connection that you have to a team. Thirdly, a blessing of the 70 level. It's a place to receive general teaching from God's word. As you know, we kind of have a rhythm that we've gotten into now where we will preach through a book of the Bible, and when we finish the book of the Bible, we'll go into a topical series. We are in a topical series today. Okay, just FYI. Usually a whole lot more scripture as we go through this. We're definitely in a topical series today. But this is a place to receive the teaching of God's word. Now, I'm not going to be able to dive as deep as I want to on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to be able to give you every single nugget from the book of Galatians that I find when I study. But I tell you this, you can learn the Bible in a healthy church. You can learn what God's word has for you on a practical level in the local church that's healthy. You can understand what the book of Philippians is about. You can understand what the book of Jonah is about. You can understand the books of Ezra and Nehemiah and what was taking place and going on in that time and how important it was that that book is in the Old Testament. You can, under the preaching of God's word. That's what I love about the sequential preaching of God's word is that it encourages faithfulness because we're going next verse, next chapter, next verse, next chapter. A practical blessing of the 70 level, of the local church level, is it affords you a place to serve and use your spiritual gifts. It's a place to use your giftings. I mentioned Cody and Lee already this morning. God has given each of those men gifts. And they've been able to use them. Cody, for several years, I came across our feed when we helped Southwest that one time. Their sign was looking like pretty terrible. Cody's been doing this for 6 years coming up. Lee's been doing this for almost a year coming up. Just using talents. Just using your abilities. It's a place to use your giftings. Today there are people serving up in our kids area that whether you want to admit it or not, there are many of you in here do that. You are gifted in that area. It's just a place to use your giftings. You say, well, that's maybe not my thing. Well, Rodney here in the last month has began serving. And help me out today, Rodney. You helped set up tent, make sure everything was ready. Other weeks you're at the cross guard helping people get across safely across the street. Rodney's probably not going to teach the elementary class next Sunday. but he can do that. It's a place to use your gifts. It's a place to serve. I had no plans of doing this. I'm not even going to go to the next two levels. We're going to go there next Sunday. I just want to hone in as we close today. The importance of the gathering. And may I say from day one, one of our values is circles are better than rows. Okay? And I believe that. I believe that it is better to gather in a small group of 10 to 15 to 20 people at the most, and share what God is doing in your life and prayer requests and studying with one another and having that interaction with one another. I do believe that is incredible. But that statement should not and does not diminish the rows. May I say that? It doesn't diminish the rows. Listen, that top level of local church activity, the gathering of the corporate body, is important. It is important. It links us together. It gives us commonality. It gives us common ground. And may I say, if you want to use circles are better than rows as a cop-out from church attendance, you know deep down in your heart that you are twisting the thought and intent behind that. It's simply to give you the importance of what we're going to talk about next week, which is our connect groups and our serving teams and that next layer and that next level that we want you to level down to. Before today, I guess if you asked me what was the goal, and it morphed into it as we were preaching, the goal today is that we would have people that would commit themselves to say, listen, this is what God has for me. This is where my family come, barring sickness, barring vacation, barring circumstances beyond my control. This is where I'm at. I've told you this, we will go on vacation. I won't miss a Sunday for this one, but I will be in Disney for a week. The Lord will be blessing in our South Campus. The Lord will be blessing. A couple weeks later, I'll be back in Florida at a Florida State football game. Never been there in my life. I'll be gone on a Sunday. Today, some of our best friends, some of you, I've spoken about this, but some of our best friends have really been struggling over the last 6 weeks. Today, my wife is with one of my best friend's wives today, serving her and just trying to be a blessing to her. There are times, I get it, but can we commit that we're going to be faithful when God has us here? I get the unique opportunity to, speaking of UNC, I'm a Duke guy, but I get the unique opportunity to kind of get behind the scenes access to the football program. And so Duke's starting quarterback, his name's Riley Leonard, is a great quarterback, but he's a number one, hands down, there is no question, he is a devout follower of Jesus before he is anything. Anytime that it is brought up or there's anything asked about him from the media where he can go into talking about Jesus, he does. In fact, once he found out that I was a pastor, I will like every now and then kind of set him up with a question that I know he's going to come in. And like, we don't tell other people that, but that's what I do. Like, man, I'm gonna set him up to where he can just spike it, right? Yesterday, I was sitting in the there were a lot of people around interviewing him, and this was not me, this was someone else. I was standing there listening. Someone else said, "Hey, Riley, how have you and Coach Johns?" Coach Johns is the offensive coordinator. So obviously he's a quarterback's coach. So obviously the quarterback and the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator are going to grow close. And Kevin Johns has been there now 12 months, so over a year, no, 18 months, a year and a half. And the reporter said, "Riley, how have you and Coach Johns, can you explain how your relationship, how have you guys gotten closer over the last 18 months? And I would estimate that 10 to 12 hours a week, those two men sit in a room and watch film together of Duke football games and the mistakes that he made and the good things that he did. I would assume, and I know, that for another 10 to 15 hours a week, they're on the practice field together, spending a lot of time together. I know that another couple of hours a day, the team and the coaching staff eats meals together. They're together a ton. I would say 25 to 30 hours a week, the quarterback from Duke and the offensive coordinator from Duke are together in football-related deep dives." When he was asked the question yesterday, "How have you and Coach Johns grown closer together over the last 18 months?" Do you know what his answer was? He said, "We've grown in our faith together." And they didn't know what to say. So they followed up and they're like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "We go to church together every Sunday. We talk about the Lord together." And may I say that out of 25 hours a week of intense football connection that those two men have, that when asked how they've grown closer together in 18 months, you know what the answer was? "We go to church together. We talk about our faith together." May I say this? There's something unique about growing closer together with the 70. Listen, you can't grow close with every one of the 70. I can't. There's some of you in here that I'm closer to than others. My bandwidth maxes out at a certain level. But you can get close to people. You can find a unique connection with people if you'll commit yourself to that 70 level, that local church ministry, not to come and sit in the pew, but to come and be sent out, even in this local area, in this local body. And then as we leave here in this local community, and as you get home in your local community, level down. If you this morning have never come into the multitude of those who believe in Jesus, the thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people over time, if you've never joined the multitude, today's the day. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants a relationship with you. The God of the universe created you, and in your sin, you are separated from your Creator. And He wants to, Jesus came to bridge that gap. But you got to trust Him. You got to believe in Him. You've got to place that step of faith in Jesus. Are you in that multitude? If no, today's the day. If yes, are you committed to that level down, that 70 level? You say, "Josh, I'm here today." I get it. I understand. We might send this out in an email this week. I don't know. I'll make sure I send it to the right people and the right email list. We may send this out today to the rest of our church family. But I want us to commit to that. It's important. For me, it's not just important for me. It's important because I have a wife that's in this with me. It's important because I have a freshman in high school. How did that happen? Daughter. And a seventh grader daughter that are in this with me. And may I just encourage you. Unique circumstances aside, listen, we don't need to qualify that. It's one of you know my heart. Unique circumstances aside, this is where I'm going to be with my brothers and with my sisters. Heavenly Father.
Thanks for listening today. If you're listening for the first time, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question about the gospel of Jesus. If so, we'd like you to send us an email at hello@keystonerdu.church. If you're a regular listener to our podcast and you would like to donate to the media and outreach ministries at Keystone, your gift would allow us to do more in an effective way to get the gospel out. Thank you for partnering with us in ministry in Durham and around the world.